This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Nina Khan, Tyre Lyles Jr., Kevin Blagastone, Mr. Bob Ryan. Check this out. Jared Allen jacked up about drawing a 3-second call in the paint versus the Jazz. We can go Goldilocks. Not enough, just enough, or just right. Also, NFL news of the day, the Bills trading Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans. Let's chop it up around the horn. Was any relationship between wide receiver and quarterback playing out more publicly than Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen? Just yesterday, Diggs was online wondering whether he's essential to Josh Allen. The answer doesn't really matter now for Buffalo, or maybe has been answered, huh? News of the day, Buffalo trading Diggs and trading him to the Houston Texans for a 2025 second round pick. There's what this means for Buffalo and what Diggs can do for the ascending Texans and C.J. Stroud. Around the horn to you, Mina Kimes. Where would you like to begin?
Well, I think the Bills side of this is more intriguing because the Texans side is easier to understand. They have the most valuable thing in professional sports, which is a top quarterback on a rookie contract. And because they have that, they're going all in to surround him with talent. I love the combination of Diggs with Nico Collins and Tank Dell. That's instantly one of the best wide receiver trios in the NFL. So from Houston's perspective, it makes sense, but it's not without some risk. And I think that's what you have to look at when analyzing why Buffalo did this. Stephon Diggs is on the wrong side of 30. Final eight games of last season, he averaged under 45 yards per game. You saw him being yet less useful or meaningful in the Buffalo Bills offense. And they do have an older roster, so you can see why they would want to get younger and amass draft picks. It's a massive cap hit, which I think hints at some other reasons other than just football ones behind this trade. From Buffalo's standpoint, obviously there's been speculation about Diggs wanting out there. Same thing happened in Minnesota. But it is going to be hard for them to make up for his loss, even with the declined production.
You see that happening this offseason for Buffalo in the draft? Moving up maybe to draft a wide receiver in a stat class?
Yeah. So they're at pick 28. This is a very stacked class, which means if they stick at 28, they will have some interesting prospects. Adonai Mitchell out of Texas is one who's been linked to them. However, because of the absence of Diggs, the fact that they do need a receiver to come in and produce right away, if I'm Buffalo, I am picking up the phone and seeing if it's possible to move into the top 10 to get Rome Odunze. General manager Brandon Bean has moved up in the draft before. There's precedent for this, but I suspect it might take a lot.
Tyre Lyles Jr., around the horn to you on, was this more about the Bills or the Texans making this move?
I personally got excited about the Texans just because they were already fun to watch last year. And I've seen a lot of people debating, well, is Stephon Diggs still a wide receiver one? Is he going to be a two? I kind of think that doesn't matter because I think that he is going to be surrounded by enough weapons to where you can't just single him out the way that you could in Buffalo. He is playing with Nico Collins and Tank Dell, which everybody realized he was a great player at the University of Houston 2 years ago. He was a great player last year before he got hurt. You also have Joe Mixon now and Dalton Schultz as well. And obviously what we saw out of C.J. Stroud, I think you have to be very excited about what they bring to this offense. The only place where I get a little bit concerned is, and Mina sort of just pointed to it, how is C.J. Stroud and this Texans team going to take it when Stephon Diggs gets 6 targets in a game he felt like he should have gotten 9? That's the only way that I'm a little bit concerned about this, but otherwise, I think this is going to be a really fun offense to watch.
Blackstone, takeaway on the NFL trade of the day, Diggs, the Texans.
Well, it's a no-brainer for the Texans, but it's a real head-scratcher if you're the Buffalo Bills. 66 games he's played with Josh Allen, caught balls for 5,732 yards, 37 touchdowns. You try and replace that. I don't think they're going to be able to do it. And you look at the frustration that was over Diggs' face in the last part of that year. Was it him being more productive, or was it the fact that the offensive coordinator, when questioned about it late in the season, came out and said, you know what, that's on me. I got to get him more involved in the offense when we really need it. So to me, they are breaking an offense that was broken by something else, and it wasn't Steph Diggs. And so now he's going to go to a young quarterback, and as Mina pointed out, turn that receiving core into one of the most potent in the NFL, and show out. And the Bills are going to be sitting around talking about what's wrong with Josh Allen. Well, what's wrong with Josh Allen is he doesn't have Steph Diggs anymore.
Hot take from Blackstone. And Bob Ryan to you now.
On paper, of course, this is a reasonable addition for the Texans. On paper, they have improved. However, I'm taking 1.5 and 1.5, and I've reached the conclusion that it equals 3. And that tells me there's something going on with him, and they'd better enter into the be careful what you wish for type of thinking with this guy. Think about this. Why isn't he on his way to being a career Viking? Something's wrong here, folks, with this guy. He should still be in Minnesota, based on the talent level that he has brought into the league and the talent level he demonstrated. And last year, I don't know what was going on. He started off fine, and then he did not get another 100-yard game in the last 13 games they played, including the playoffs. And we know there was disgruntlement, quote-unquote. I think he is perpetually disgruntled. I think they better watch out. And I think they better throw him the ball or else he's going to stage a sit-down strike. So, and as far as Buffalo's concerned, obviously they're going to draft a wide receiver, you would think. And but I think they're waving goodbye. And don't let the door hit you on you.
KB, I'll let you breathe. Come right back in. You were shaking your head.
I mean, there's the rumor about what he's like in the locker room, or he's difficult to get along with, whatever. All I know is that if you think about his Minnesota career, you think about one of the greatest plays in the history of the NFL. And when you think about what he did with the Bills playing outdoors in that horrible weather, and you look at Josh Allen's numbers before and what they were with Steph Diggs, I think I keep Steph Diggs.
Stone, you're really questioning whether Allen can have the same success
absolutely
without Diggs. Kimes, I'll give you the last word.
Well, I think Josh Allen showed that he can play really well without much contribution from Stephon Diggs, frankly, in the second half of last season. But I wanted to address something that Bob said, which is sort of talking about, you know, where he is as a player right now and explaining some of that lack of production a little bit. Yes, some of it is that Stephon Diggs is no longer at his peak. I do think that's true. However, the way he was used in the Bills offense changed a great deal. Before the halfway point of the season, you know, they changed offensive coordinators, moving on to Joe Brady. Less than 10% of his targets were behind the line of scrimmage, screens. Afterwards, that more than doubled to over 20%. That's a big part of why he didn't amass the same yardage he did before. And I think in Houston, you'll see him used in probably the best possible way, given the receivers around him.
Mm-hmm. It's the NFL news of the day. Bills parting away with Stephon Diggs. He's now a Houston Texan. We've been horned. We'll move on. NBA last night. Joel Embiid, he's back. And the Sixers beat OKC. 29 minutes, 24 points for Embiid. Hit some clutch free throws late. Philly fell to the 8th seed without him. Play-in territory. Eastern Conference, though, last night, we saw Milwaukee lose to Washington. Still open. Bob, in what ways are you reassessing the East now with the return of Embiid?
If you go to South Street in Philadelphia and order a cheesesteak at Pat's or Geno's, they ask you with or without. That means, do you want it with onions or without? Same thing with the 76ers fans now. Do you think you have a playoff chance of doing anything at all with or without? Without, zero, none. Forget about it. But with, you have a right to say, hey, let's have some fun. Maybe we'll make some noise in the playoffs. He makes an enormous difference. Just look at the one loss with him, the one loss with, the one loss without. The one loss without is bad. He is a tremendous talent. He makes, I don't use that, I hate that phrase, makes other people better, but the team is better off with him. I'll just put it that way. And now Paul Reed goes back to his better role as a nice, serviceable backup. They got a superstar level almost in Maxey. Kelly Oubre Jr., where are all these points coming from? People in Washington are asking, right, Kev? And so they have a chance to be an interesting team with him.
Well, let me ask you this. The 2.5, 3 weeks left of the season, regular season. They're in the 8th seed now. That's play-in, but then the 8 versus the 1 would match up against your Boston Celtics, Bob. Do you think the Celtics are watching him say, come back, please, now. Get some wins now. Get out of the 8 spot.
He's dropped as many as 52 on them, and they know how damn good he is. And that would be a very intriguing first-round matchup for them. And that would be great. Basketball should welcome that matchup.
Okay.
Of course, you welcome any matchup involving him. He's a remarkably efficient player in the league.
AB, you're reassessing the East now with Embiid back?
Absolutely. I mean, I was stunned to see him come back and look as good as he did last night in 29 minutes. Not only did he put up those other numbers, but he closed that game out. Free throws, I think he was 12 for 12 from the line. Had a steal in that game. Almost went coast to coast with it. So they are rejuvenated. He looks like the old Embiid that we last saw when he grabbed that knee. My only concern would be that knee brace. It looked like something that an offensive tackle would wear in the NFL. Man, that's a load to be carrying around, but he did it last night, and if he can get his stamina back, they are
Harry Lyles Jr., you're reassessing now? Are the Sixers right below the Celtics in the Eastern Conference? Maybe ahead of Milwaukee, despite being the 8th seed?
I think maybe they could get there. I thought what you saw out of him last night, he gave you 24, 6, and 7 when he was clearly winded, and you could tell like his touch was a little bit off. But the fact that he was able to give you that game after missing the amount of time that he has missed, if you are every team basically not the Celtics, and even if you are the Celtics, you should probably be a little bit concerned depending on when you run into this team. Like, if this is a team that is going to have one or two rounds of series before they get to Boston and he's able to get back into playing shape and get his rhythm back, then that becomes a much larger concern for them. But if you're anybody else in the Eastern Conference, like, nobody else really scares you. So, yes, if they have Embiid back when he is on the floor, it makes that team much more dangerous, even when he is at his form last night and he's going to get better.
Kimes, take away from Embiid's return last night.
Yeah. I mean, they are the prototypical team that nobody wants to play because that win total was artificially suppressed by Embiid's absence. And I think his return is huge, not just for seeding and the implications for the teams near the top, but also to give Embiid a chance to not only ramp up. As Harry said, he did look winded. He was below his averages in minutes, and that's going to take some time for him to get back to his usual conditioning, but also to give him time to play with his new teammates, Kyle Lowry, Buddy Hield, players who weren't on the Sixers when he went out. So the fact that he's getting these games before the postseason is invaluable.
We've been warned. We'll take a break right here and buy or sell. We're going to talk about a near quadruple double in the NBA last night. You know, it was Victor Wembanyama. 4 quadruple doubles in NBA history. For points right now, anybody know any of the names?
Will Chamberlain.
Will didn't have the, he would have had it, but he didn't have the blocks back then, KB.
David Robinson.
David Robinson is the most recent, 1994. Bob, why don't you just give us the remainder?
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Hakeem, Alvin Robertson, Nate Thurmond. Buy or sell's next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Grey Goose.
Nuggets over the Spurs last night. Now we watch a national panel ho-hum a 42-point game from Nikola Jokic, because look at the line from Wembanyama. 23 points, 15 rebounds, 9 blocks, 8 assists. That's as close to a quad double as we've had in a while. The last one was 30 years ago. And look how he blocks Jokic here. It's like you would be blocking a 5-year-old in tic-tac-toe. Block, block, block. Bob, hot take takeaway on Wembanyama. Go.
Hot take is that this is 21st century, folks, and we're seeing something we have never seen before. We've seen 7'4 guys who can make shots, block shots, and defend, but we've never seen one who can pass the way this guy does. Possesses a guard's floor vision to go with all the other attributes. And by the way, in his quadruple-double, he shot 9 for 29, which means that he's not happy with that. He will work on that. Next year, you'll see an even better shooter. And it's a phenomenal thing that we are looking
at. A follow-up, Bob. You've been tracking the growth of a teenager and a young, now 20-year-old, as he goes up and down. And wondering, well, what could the ceiling be if we're this close to a quad double now?
Well, the ceiling for this kid, a double cathedral ceiling. That's what we're talking about, folks. Something we've never seen before.
Kevin Blackstone on the Sistine Chapel of a night from Wembanyama.
Well, the thing I love about him are the black shots. I mean, I know that he's that big and you expect that. But the fact of the matter is, that makes your defense so much better. He's also a rim protector. He's blocking the shots of his guy, and he's also coming off his man to help you out at the rim and getting those shots blocked too. Defense, a lost art, a lost science in the NBA, not with this guy.
Ari Lyles Jr.
Tony, this was a beautiful collision of the standard of the present and the standard of the future. Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets are the standard bearers currently. Anybody winning a championship, it goes through them. And Victor Wembanyama didn't just do this against, again, the Hornets or anything like that, but he also did it against the Nuggets and without like half of his team on the court. So the fact that he was able to do something like this, we've seen his progression already throughout the year. He's only going to continue to get better. And even Greg Popovich said, this was one of the most competitive games that I've ever been a part of, which typically I'd kind of just, you know, whatever, ignore. But because he said it, I believe him.
Imagine you're a Hornets fan and you just tuck into a little around the horn. And you catch a straight like that from Harry Lyles Jr. Mina Kimes to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's telling that we didn't even show one of the coolest highlights of the game, which was Jokic's cross-court pass. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Broncos fans at home salivating, wondering why they don't have a guy in the roster.
Oh, another stray. Unbelievable. That's actually funny, though.
You get to root for the Nuggets. You're lucky. No, but it just speaks to how amazing Wemby was. And honestly, the greatest compliment I can pay him is the stats, as amazing as they are, don't do the visuals justice. I mean, you saw the finger roll there. I've slowed that down so many times to try to understand the physics of it, and I still don't get it.
Bob, you called this 21st century basketball. This is 22nd century basketball. We'll move on. You people think you have tight deadlines? March Madness was still going on. LSU was eliminated 44 hours ago. The WNBA draft is 12 days from now. The deadline to declare was a couple days ago, 48 hours if you're just eliminated. So Angel Reese had a decision to make, telling Vogue in an interview that she did do last month that she will go pro. That's the news of the day this afternoon. Her college career ends with that crushing loss, that raw podium, and so many honors. She's projected at number 7 on the big board. Not every first-round pick guaranteed a roster spot in the WNBA, though. Harry, around the horn on Reese's decision and her pro prospects.
Honestly, I think it's an easier decision than a lot of people want to make it seem like. And it seems the one thing that people have a hold up with is the earnings piece of it, which is not an issue. Her NIL earnings were not in a collective base. They came from Amazon. They came from Beats by Dre. They came from Goldman Sachs. They came from all over the place. So those are going to follow her. Just because she goes pro does not mean companies mean, oh, well, we don't want anything to do with her anymore. It's not how this works. As far as being a pro player, she's going to be great. She's got the work ethic. She's got the skill. And when we're talking about players who have transferred to LSU to become superstars, Angel Reese is on Mount Rushmore next to Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I see where you're going. But back to the WNBA prospects. Number 7 pick. There's 6 players right now ahead of her, and you have her as great in the WNBA. KB, I go to you.
Well, she's a grinder. I mean, she's a double-double machine. You know, she can average more points than she did, but she's with such a talented offensive team, she didn't have to. What did she do against Iowa when they lost? 20 rebounds. That's going to work. That's what she does every day. And she can block shots. She'll be a force on the block, and she'll be right here in Washington, D.C., playing for your Washington Mystics.
Oh, that's at number 6? You ever go? Are you breaking
Absolutely.
News here, Kevin? Is this your opinion?
Of course. This is a no-brainer. This isn't an
Talk
opinion.
Me through it.
Deladon is not even playing here next year. She's taking a year off. Natasha Cloud is gone, a fan favorite. You obviously are going to draft her to bring her back home here, just down the road from Baltimore and where she played her collegiate career at the beginning at Maryland.
If, in fact, she is really the seventh best prospect projected, this is testimony to the further growth of the great growth of the women's game. That she will be a great player. She is a tremendous rebounder. There's no down. There's no yeah, but with her skill, no question, or work ethic, anything else. So all I can say is, if there are six better, wow.
Mina Kimes.
The WNBA is in good shape.
You know, your point, Tony, about the timeline and how quickly this is all happening, for me, it drives home what an unbelievable opportunity this is for the WNBA to build on the incredible momentum of this tournament. We're talking about Angel Reese as the seventh player. We are still watching some of the players ahead of her. Obviously, Caitlin Clark, Camilla Cardoso, possibly going in the top three as well. So, So these players are becoming stars, and now they're going to go to the WNBA very soon, and I think there's a real opportunity here for the league to build on that.
Harry Lyles Jr. and Kevin Blackstone with his guarantee, Reese goes to the Mystics.
Absolutely.
Take a seat here. Times, Ryan, showdown. Yes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mina Kimes, Bob Wright, good luck in Showdown. Showdown 1. When the bubble burst on Indiana State and Seton Hall, some wondered what would happen. How would they play? Boom! NIT final. Hey, Mean, did Indiana State and Seton Hall prove they should have been in the NCAA tournament with this run?
You know, Indiana State finished their season with a net rating of 29, which is the highest rating for a team to get snubbed from the tournament. And I think we're seeing why that was a snub. The offense has picked up right where they left off in the regular season. Another point, a game over 100 points. They've been electric.
Mm-hmm. Bob Ryan?
Seton Hall with 24 and wins. They had 13-7 in the competitive conference. They beat UConn once.
Yeah.
That alone should have given them an entry. As far as Indiana State's concerned, yes, they should have given us Robbie Avila, except but they needed one non-conference win that would have meant something. They didn't get
it. But the proof, you're seeing, they could have both won multiple games in this tournament. NC State is the proof of that. We'll move on. Showdown 2, Jared Allen really jacked up about drawing a three-second violation in the pay versus the Jazz. I'm him. Bob, that reaction, too much, not enough, or just right for 3 seconds, Paul?
That's the most exuberance ever shown about a non-box score contribution by a player in NBA history, all right? Maybe he has a side bet with a teammate. I don't know. But it was a bit over the top.
Mina Kimes?
Speaking of bits, that's what this is. It's a bit. It's an extremely weird one that confuses everyone in its path, including announcers on opposite teams. That's why I love it, frankly, because it truly makes no sense.
He had done it last year, too. Bob, did I hear you right? This doesn't make it into a box score? That's not a turnover?
There's no category for violations caused. Seriously.
Maybe there should be. I'm a stat man. I said it. Jared Allen deserves some credit. So does Bob Ryan. 30 seconds.
In case you're wondering how baseball is faring in year two of its quest to speed up the game, let me give you some information. I have charted 78 games since last Thursday. Of those 78, 65 have been played in under 3 hours. The longest game was a 12-inning game, 324. The longest 9-inning game was was 304. The Red Sox, and last night, listen to this. There were 9 games played under 230 and only 1 over 3 hours. Bravo, you guys. You're doing a great job.
We'll see you tomorrow.